I want you to take a moment and I want you to imagine with me a couple scenarios. First, your name is Katsutoshi Shimizu. And you are a boy, obviously, of Japanese descent. You are an immigrant living in Texas, and it is the 1960s. And probably, very likely, most of the friends that you have, their fathers, just not 20 years before, were in a struggle, a terrible struggle in World War II against fighting and killing some of your heritage, your native people. Your family moves back to Japan and you go to university where you meet Yukiko, whom you would later marry. You and Yukiko are unable to have children, so like any good Japanese man, you throw everything that you have into work. And you come to work for this small little automobile company. Some of you might have heard of it, Toyota. And you grow in ranks with this small little local car company to become a vice president. And Toyota decides to send you to London, you and your wife Yukiko, to work and to live. You become consumed with depression. And because you are of the master race of the earth, by your cultural and traditional teachings and your heritage, you are taught that you should be able to just simply overcome the emotional onslaught of depression just by thinking better than that. You're better than that. You can overcome this depression. It's all in your mind. Oh, and your culture and your heritage teaches that suicide is better than you bringing shame on your family name by not being able to overcome this depression. And also imagine that you do not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I want you to imagine another scenario. You're a kid growing up in the Midwest in the 80s. Not hard for some of us to... Some of you are like, what are the 80s? I don't know what that is. Your grandfather, as many of your friends, fought in that same terrible war. Only on the other side. And your grandfather taught you an absolute hatred for Japanese people. After you get saved, God starts breaking your heart for people groups that you once hated. And He also burdens your heart for a little bitty town called London. I often get asked, people, when we talk to people and say we're wanting to move to London, people be like, Kentucky? And my response is, well, they're both foreign countries. One just has a bigger pond between the two of us. We'll get to our main text first, but we're going to do some pretext work in Acts chapter 6. The church is exploding. The elders, the apostles are overwhelmed by what God is doing in the church. And a complaint has risen up that two different groups of widows are not being treated fairly when it comes to caring for them and helping them to eat. And the apostles get with the disciples and they say, look, Acts chapter 6 verse 3 says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we will appoint to do this duty. They were looking, they needed table waiters. That's really what they, I mean, that's when you boil down that word. They needed someone to serve the tables. They wanted people who they knew had godly character, in part for fairness. They wanted these women treated fairly. They wanted the the turmoil to subside. They also wanted those who weren't just going to do it because they had to.
I'll be a servant. I'll wait the tables.
You know, they wanted someone who would do it out of obedience, but do it also because their heart said, this is, I love my Lord and I want to serve my Lord and however I can, whichever way I can. They had the people choose these men that they would appoint to do this, in part because I can imagine they didn't want to hear somebody say, well, that's not what my spiritual gifts assessment said, so I don't have to serve tables. That's not my gifting. That's not my calling. They wanted men who were zealous to serve the Lord and zealous for the body of Christ, because the apostles knew they couldn't do all of gospel ministry. It's never appointed in Scripture for the elders, the apostles, the pastors of the church to do all of the ministry of the body. It's impossible. That's why all of the body is needed to do all of the ministry of the body of Christ. More glorious than the miraculous is the faithfulness of the righteous. The miraculous of God adding to their numbers daily was accomplished through His Spirit working through the day in and the day out faithful believers loving the Lord and serving Him with everything that they had. And He added to their numbers. Jesus warned us. We see all throughout the Scriptures in the New Testament especially, people that sought just the signs and wonders. And if God does them, they're great. And they are great things. But you know what brings even greater glory to God is everyday believers living out their faith 100% all the time, every day. That brings far more glory to God than the miraculous things. We jump over to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 7, it's Stephen's charge against those. We begin Acts chapter 8 with Paul having Stephen put to death, and a great persecution ensues. And we're told that everybody scatters except the apostles. The apostles stay in Jerusalem, the rest scatter. And then we came to the verses that we read together as a congregation, where Philip is one of those that scatters. He doesn't go hiding. He doesn't go into the underground. He goes to those wretched half-breed, half-foreigners, the Samaritans, and he starts preaching the gospel. And miraculous things happen. Demons are cast out. People are healed. So much so that a man named Simon the magician longs to have that which Philip had. And all Philip was doing was the Holy Spirit of God was working through Philip, because Philip had already been showing himself to be faithful every day, serving and preaching and teaching the word. But Simon wanted this stuff for dishonest gain. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He was seeking the wow. And he wanted to be the wow guy. I can promise you, Philip didn't care about being the wow guy. Philip loved his Lord. So much stuff happens that as you go down there in Acts chapter 8, it says that Peter and John heard what was going on, what was happening through Philip. They went down to Samaria. They had more interactions with Simon the magician. And then Peter puts a curse basically on Simon. And we see what God was doing through His servant Philip. More glorious than the miraculous is the faithfulness of the righteous. The miraculous of God casting out demons and healing was great. But it was accomplished through His Spirit working through the faithfulness of Philip to preach the Word. A far, far, far greater means of glory, preaching the Word. And that's what Philip was doing faithfully. This takes us to our main text, which I should have read earlier. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Philip is led by the Lord to go to the desert. Go down there, that road down there on the desert. Again, Philip didn't argue with God, didn't say, "Nope, God, my calling is not to go to desert roads, not my spiritual gift." Scripture said that he rose and went. He rose and went. If all that Megan puts on my headstone, if God calls me home first, she puts, "God told him to rose and went, and he rose and went," I would be content. That would be enough. To rose and went. He encounters a foreigner on the road. He didn't take an attitude with God. No, God, I don't like those Ethiopians. I don't like eunuchs. That's not my gifting. He did what God called him to do because he loved his Lord and he wanted to serve his Lord. He then teaches the man. He didn't prepare. He didn't say, "Okay, God, wherever you're sending me, what passage is the fella going to be reading?" God allowed him through the Spirit, starting with that scripture in Isaiah, and then he walks this Ethiopian eunuch to come to know Christ. Every day, living out your faith as a Christian, we should be able to be like that. I'm not guilting or shaming anybody, but we should love the Lord and love His Word so much that at any moment when we're having a conversation with anybody, we can pray and the Spirit will give us those bridges to connect that person to the gospel. And then the eunuch sees a ditch, says, let's do this right here. So he gets baptized in a ditch, and when he comes out, poof, Philip is gone. And the eunuch never sees him again. I have to assume that means for the rest of his life, he never sees Philip again. Where Philip was at, originally in Jerusalem, he was heading somewhere towards Gaza. We don't know exactly, but Gaza is approximately 65 miles southwest of Jerusalem. After the baptism, and poof, he's gone, he's in Azotus, which is Ashdod, which is about 40 miles due west of Jerusalem. So somewhere in this realm of could have been upwards of 400 square miles, or about 260,000 acres, in a poof, God took Philip to Azotus. And that's pretty miraculous. That's pretty spectacular. More glorious than the miraculous is the faithfulness of the righteous. The miraculous of God transporting Philip in an instant was awesome. And it was accomplished through His Spirit working through the faithful obedience of Philip to go and do what God wanted him to do. The greater glory for God is that Philip rose and went, did what God called him and commanded him to do. Because through the Spirit, Philip loved, worshiped, studied, and obeyed the Lord. God placed him in a position to minister to someone who is in desperate need of the gospel. If Philip doesn't go, the Ethiopian eunuch goes back to Ethiopia having some knowledge, but having no answers and no hope. Because Philip was obedient to minister, there was fruit. Because he trusted the Lord for the fruit, he kept on ministering, teaching the gospel as he went, or as he was doing life. Luke tells us that he went on about preaching the word until he got to Caesarea. And I don't think he'd stopped at Caesarea. I have a feeling that Philip did that for the rest of his life. But that's about 80 miles due north. And so, as Philip is going from Azotus up to Caesarea, he just shares the gospel where he goes. He's living his life, he's walking, he's getting up there, and he's just doing what God has commanded him to do. So what connects Philip of old, an Ethiopian eunuch, Katsutoshi and Yukiko Shimizu, and me and my family in London? I intentionally left out a few of the details earlier in the stories that I asked you to imagine. You see, Yukiko, she had a Philip in her life. Philip, who was faithfully teaching the gospel. As a child in Tokyo growing up, she was taken to an evangelical church that was planted by a missionary. And she was taught to memorize the Lord's Prayer and hymns. And she wasn't a believer. Keep doing Wednesday night Bible memorization with children, even if they're not believers. Keep teaching your children in your homes God's Word, even if they're not believers. When Katsutoshi was consumed by depression, Yukiko was like the Ethiopian eunuch to him. She had him... She said, I remember as a child when I would say this saying and sing these songs, I felt good. I felt happy. And in their home in London that Toyota was paying for, she had Katsutoshi start repeating the Lord's Prayer and start singing Christian hymns. And the miraculous happened. Nobody there to teach them. God saved Katsutoshi and his wife Yukiko in their home from something that had been planted into her while she was a child. The faithfulness of that church, of that missionary, to plant the church in Tokyo, for them to train Yukiko as a child, got to be the catalyst for the awesome miracle that God saved them in their home when he was battling depression. And he couldn't overcome it by anything. God used the faithfulness of this church years ago. I don't even know if this church knows the story of Yukiko and Katsushizo. When I met them, actually last spring, I was told how Katsutoshi became so burdened to become a Philip for his own people group, because the Japanese are considered the third largest unreached people group in the world, and not because of lack of access, but because of hardness of heart, because of cultural training, because of heritage. It is often said that churches would send missionaries to Japan, and they would often come back and say, Japan or with amongst the Japanese is where missionaries and churches go to die. And Katsutoshi so wanted to be a Philip to his people that he told this little auto company, one of your vice presidents has to retire. I have to leave. And he takes everything that he had assumed through working through Toyota, and he puts himself through seminary in the States, and then he goes to seminary in Tokyo, and he decides that him and Yukiko are going to move back to London in March of 2018, and they're going to plant a church, and their first church service is Resurrection Sunday. And now they live on support, and they live in a very, Madeline and I got to have dinner in their apartment, one bedroom, former government housing, public housing, and they live on support from some evangelical churches in Japan and one church in London. But they've seen a convert from a Japanese businessman in a baptism, and that far outweighs the other stuff. When I told him that we were being sent over in part by Southern Baptist, he got all excited. He said, I love South Baptist. He said South Baptist. You see, Katsutoshi also had a Philip in his life. When he was an immigrant boy in Texas, there was a Southern Baptist church who the leadership of that church probably were some of the same men who fought in that war, decided, we're going to love this family. In spite of maybe some of the heartache and bitterness that we fought. And they provided food and assistance to Katsutoshi and his family. They were being faithful to do what God called them to do. And it would be no different than us. Same time frame, the time that's apart, it would be no different from us than finding family members of 9/11 terrorist bombers that hijacked those planes and bringing them into our churches and ministering to them. It would be no different. It would be no different than us ministering to family members of Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters. You think about in the 60s, in Texas, this church deciding to minister to Japanese immigrants. When I was there with Madeline in November, Katsutoshi pleaded with me to come and work in his area because he said, I have no man in my life that can be a Proverbs 27:17 type man as iron sharpens iron, as a man that can help me be refined in my faith and grow in my faith. So how can you be a Philip in this story? The McDaniel family, we just want to be faithful to serve in the manner which God has called us to serve. And for us, that's in London, doing church planting and revitalization, in particular amongst the Japanese people, so that we could help train up pastors, church planters, and missionaries to go into their people group. Because Japanese can reach Japanese better than I can. Because I'm not Japanese. I don't know the culture. I can study it. I can study the language. But it's not going to be the heart person of who I am. I was born in America. Pastor Keith and I had a phone conversation with Pastor Andrew Bunnell. He was an IMB missionary in Russia for 10 years. He's now been serving in London for 10 years. And he told us something that was pretty amazing and kind of shocking. I know that the spiritual apathy in London, the UK, and all of Europe is, London's evangelical growth rate is 0.0%. The rest of Europe is in the negatives. It's about the only place in the world where the evangelical growth rate is actually in the negatives. And Pastor Andrew told us that he said, working in Russia for 10 years was easier than working in London. And as he said that, I kind of was like, ugh. Yay! But it's not about what we can do, it's about what God can do. So first and foremost, the McDaniel family needs a team here that will be faithful to do and pray for us every single day. We can raise all the money in the world, we can have all the everything else, but if we don't have people praying for us, it's pointless. We're doing it in our own strength. And people who do ministry in their own strength get burnt out really, really quick. I can remember when I was in seminary, my very first chapel service, and they said, look on your left and look on your right, and both of those men will be out of the ministry in 5 years. And of course, everybody in the room is going, not me, not me. What are you going to quit for? You know, and it's like, doing ministry in your flesh, you will burn out quickly. All of us have known people that have burned out doing ministry. So we need your prayer support. Secondly, we need, as Pastor Keith talked about, a practical care missionary nurturing team. And they will have some specific things that they will be doing. If you're a book lover, Megan and I will bribe you with a book. We're going to give one of these to every one of our practical care missionary nurturing team. We need, really, that team, 6 to 10 people or 6 to 10 couples. That's what that, and those will have specific things. Some of it will be logistical things to help with. Some of it will be, hey, you know, just, you know, following up with us and stuff like that. So, thirdly, we need financial support. We are so thankful and grateful that our family members here at Cordon Baptist Church have decided to put us as a line item budget, and we are thankful for all those who give their tithes and offerings as a part of that. But we're going to need more than just that. We're going to need individuals and families who say, you know what, above and beyond what I'm already giving to a church, we want to sacrificially give for the McDaniel family. In this phone conversation that we had, just the bare reality of living in London with a family of eight ain't cheap anyway here in the States. But we get off the plane, and right now it takes $1.33 to make a British pound. So we lose our half, you know, not half of the money's value, but we lose a good chunk of the value of the money as soon as we step off the plane. Rent for a family of eight in London can run us up to probably $60,000 a year, just for rent. So I have been praying to the Lord for $100,000 in a combination of upfront costs, airfare, visas, training. We're going to pre-field training in April. We'll be gone for 2 weeks. Pray for us, because the first week is wilderness survival. We won't be taking Claire with us. They don't allow 3-year-olds and under to go to wilderness survival. And Emma was like, why do we need to do that? And the point is to put you in a situation you're not used to, because you're going to be stressed out. So that'll be the first week, so we're doing that. And part of that $100,000, also ongoing costs for the first year, housing, food, visas. Visas are not something that's just done once. Every couple of years, you have to redo the visas and stuff like that. So we are going to need more support than just what Cordon Baptist Church as a whole can give us. So if God leads you and you want to support us, we can give you links for that. Also, again, like Pastor Key said, if you know churches that would be all you have to do is ask if we can go share with their church. I have this philosophy. I'm already at no. The worst they could do is keep me where I'm already at. So have that same thought for us if you want. And all you have to do is, if you know a church, ask them. If they tell you no, like, well, okay, I'm already at no. Sorry, Dennis, you're at no with this church. Okay. God could very well miraculously whip a family of eight across the ocean without flying on an airplane, and we just wake up and we're in a house that's ours, that's paid for, and we have visas sitting there on the table. He very well could do that. He is God. He is not bound by anything. But most likely he's not going to operate in that manner. I pray for that, but I'm going to be also a realist that he might not operate in, you know, magic carpeting us across the ocean. More glorious than the miraculous is the faithfulness of the righteous. And what if God is wanting to accomplish that through the Holy Spirit working in your lives as our family here at Corden Baptist Church? Maybe He's calling you to be on our stateside team of prayer partners. Maybe He's calling you to be on our prayer side team of the practical care nurturing team. Maybe He's calling you to be on our team of financial supporters. Maybe He's calling you to be on our team to join us physically. The spread of the gospel to the secular world can present itself as seemingly random encounters. We clearly know through Scripture that Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch was not random. It was done by God's sovereignty. Now, it might appear as random. I have no doubt that God placed us here almost 2 years ago with this family at Corden Baptist Church. I have no doubt that through God's sovereignty, a church planted by a missionary ministered to a young Japanese girl. It wasn't random. I have no doubt that a Southern Baptist church in Texas ministered to a Japanese boy and his family through God's sovereignty. It wasn't random. I have no doubt that God caused the path through His sovereignty of the Shimizu family and the McDaniel families to cross. Years down the road, what will it look like as you look back and look at how God's sovereignty used Corden Baptist Church, our family here, and you personally in this story? Will you help us to rose and went? And will you rose and went whatever God's called you to do? Downstairs on the table, you'll see there's a poster board with some stuff about London, some pictures of us while we were there. There's also on that poster board, there's a link to the South London Japanese Church that Pastor Katsusoshi planted last year. Please pray for them. Also, there's a link to our giving page. Though we are going through the IMB, and we will be team members with the IMB, our platform, it's often called the Platt platform, as David Platt was the former president of the IMB and came up with this, that you go and your work or secondary support is your main support. So we are not funded through the IMB. We are funded through whatever we can support, raise, whatever work we can do. But our funding then has to go through Shepherd Staff. And so there's a link down there to our Shepherd Staff site. If you want, Shepherd Staff is the one who's going to be coming doing the training on the 16th of March. And also we decided to bring some, I didn't want to embarrass anybody, so I didn't bring any chili. I don't need a trophy. We got to get rid of all of our stuff anyway. We're not taking it with us. So what we decided to do is we brought some traditional British dishes. There's bread pudding. There is Scotch eggs, which are hard-boiled eggs wrapped in sausage. They kind of fell apart, but that's okay. This is our first attempt. And some shepherd's pie. So that's on the little British table. So if you would, bow with me as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, for faithfulness of a Southern Baptist church in Texas. Lord, I thank You for the faithfulness of a missionary church in Tokyo that ministered to these two Japanese families. Lord, I thank You for saving them in the way that You saved them. Lord, we're so thankful for our church family here at Corden Baptist Church. Thank You for the opportunity to love with them, to live with them, and to just do life and ministry together. Father, I'm so thankful. Yes, you did a lot of amazing things in the life of Philip. But I'm so thankful that we have a brother in the Lord, Philip, who just through the Holy Spirit went about every day living life like he was supposed to. He loved you. He wanted to serve you. And that's the more glorious thing. Father, I pray that for each and every one of us in our lives that we would rose and went and do that which you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.